Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ed Shimelia is the coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative. He just joined us in studio. We were talking off the air about basketball because this guy, as you'll soon discern, is from Kentucky, and he's not real sure that that five is going to get past number 12, Davidson. That's not why I brought you in here, Ed, but just give me 20 seconds of smart talk about Kentucky basketball. What's got you worried?
The fact that they're inconsistent this year. They say it's a freshman team, but they're very young, but they should be past that. I just don't know which team's going to show up. And Davidson has the ability to hit the three. They don't typically guard a team that hits the three very well.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned that this team could give them some trouble. But now if the team that shows up in the SEC tournament, they should handily take care of Davidson.
They did well at the SEC?
They did. They won the SEC tournament, yeah. And they played very good ball.
Ed, so. I'll tell you, this is my problem with my Butler Bulldogs. You don't know what team's going to show up. Butler beat number one Ohio State. Butler beat then number one Villanova. Butler beat Xavier, which is a one seed in the tournament. And then Butler is capable of losing an inter-squad scrimmage. So you just don't know what you're going to. And we were terrible in our last game in the tournament against X. So I'm worried about this team. But I've got them beating Arkansas. And then I've got them beating Purdue.
Oh,
let's not talk about that. We asked you to come here because the DuPage County Health Department's prevention leadership team, that's a lot, but it's a bunch of folks in DuPage County who are vested in health care and law enforcement, and they're trying to crack down or contain problems with abuse of drugs, alcohol, tobacco, etc. Particularly marijuana is on people's radar. In this state, we are going to vote in November on the following. This will appear on the ballot. Do you support the legislation of possession and use of marijuana by persons who are at least 21 years of age, subject to regulation and taxation that is similar to the regulation and taxation of tobacco and alcohol? So the question is saying, look, we'll tax it like booze and cigarettes. You will have to be 21 and the state will make money on it. I don't know if that's a leading ballot initiative, but that's the non-binding question that we'll vote yes or no on. You're probably seeing this across the country, aren't you?
Yes, we are. And as a matter of fact, we currently have 8 states that have recreationalized this drug, which that referendum seeks to gauge the support to do just that. 28 states that have medicalized this drug in some shape, form, or fashion.
Including Illinois.
Including Illinois.
What's your background?
I am in my 39th year in law enforcement. I spent 30 years with the Kentucky State Police, 4 years with the Appalachia HIDA, and getting on almost 5 years now as the national coordinator for the National Marijuana Initiative. It is one of the 3 national initiatives that support our 32 HIDAs across the country.
What's a HIDA?
A HIDA is a high-intensity drug trafficking area, of which you have one here in Chicago, one of our largest HIDAs. It is a unique vessel that brings together a partnership between federal, state, and local law enforcement to address mid and upper level drug trafficking organizations in the area.
I guess I'm not surprised that Chicago would be that. We're a big city, but it seems like we have a particular problem along 290, along the Eisenhower. I just know too many stories about people getting on the Ike and getting off somewhere around Austin or one of those exits, and right there at the exit ramp, they buy their drugs, they get back on the highway, and away they go.
And that's typical of what we're seeing across the country. You look at the substance abuse problem that this country currently has. And I come from, I'm from Kentucky, and we have been in the middle of the opioid epidemic since the mid-90s. And it started out with pharmaceutical-grade opioids. Then we started cracking down on pill mills. And then that morphed into a full-blown heroin and issue that we're currently dealing with. We're losing about 80 Kentuckians a month to opioid overdose deaths.
Are you mad at the legitimate manufacturers and use of that? Was it over prescribed?
Well, I think that was part of the problem, over prescribing of that at the
they're pushing too many of the pills down the chain.
They were. That was one of the issues, the lack of any kind of regulatory scheme with respect to the pharmaceutical industry. But now what we're facing is an illicit drug trafficking organizations that have stepped in once we fixed that mechanism, and they were already posturing themselves to bring in heroin.
How does that relate to marijuana?
Well, you know, what you're seeing, what we have seen across the country, you know, like I said, 28 states that have medicalized this drug outside of the auspices of the FDA, either through a legislative intent or ballot referendum, and 8 states that have recreationalized it.
You don't think we should make marijuana legal for medical purposes?
No. I say we need, what I wholly subscribe to is, with any substance, we actually need to investigate through the proper channels any medicinal value in any substance, including this one.
You think that's still in play? That issue's not been resolved?
That issue has not been resolved because right now there is absolutely no scientific data to support crude marijuana as medicine.
Crude marijuana?
Right.
Are we talking about the same thing here? I can tell you stories of people who have received medical marijuana prescriptions and it has changed their life for the better.
Well, first of all, you can't obtain a prescription. It's a recommendation.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And, you know, and again, the science does not support what they are claiming.
Well, then what do you tell
them? We got to have more research, first and foremost.
What do you say to those people, though, whose seizures have gone away or whose pain's been diminished?
Well, you know, I can't answer that. All I can say is what the science is telling us about this.
So then I can imagine what you say about recreational use of marijuana.
Well, here's what we're looking at with recreationally. And here are some of the things you need to be concerned about. What we have seen time after time, 8 times repeated itself. Here's what I can tell you is going to happen. Youth usage rates are going to go up. The fastest growing segment of regular marijuana users in this country is our young people. And I'm talking about 18 to 30 years of age. And why this is so important is because this is the group that's most vulnerable to the consequences of THC usage, the developing brain. Their brain's not fully developed yet. The science on the harms of marijuana have been done in the 12 to 15% range. What we are seeing today, and most people do not realize when they talk about marijuana, everybody's perception about that drug. You see the old Cheech and Chong movies in the 70s and the marijuana of the 70s. If this was still the same drug, I really wouldn't be wasting your time because it was a relatively benign drug. Because we're talking about potency levels, THC. Of the 100 plus cannabinoids, the only one anybody's ever heard of is delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol. And that is the only substance in this drug that gets you high. And we're looking at potency that was in a smokable product, in the crude product. We're looking at potencies between 0.5% and 2%. Hash oil, we're looking at 6 to 8%. What we have seen since Colorado recreationalized this is smokable product now, the crude marijuana now exceeds 35%. Hmm. But that's not what's driving the sales in these states. What's driving the sales in these states are concentrates, oils, edibles, vaping. That's what's driving our sales.
Do you suppose, though, what's also driving this issue is not any legislator's desire to let people get high?
No, it's
but
not.
But we'd clean out some of the jails. Instead of putting people in for infractions that other folks might judge are petty compared to, say, opioids or other crimes. I mean, let's not jail people for a drug that's not much worse than alcohol.
Well, in some respects it is, but that's a whole different discussion. But let's talk about, you're talking, bringing up social justice here, or for lack of a better word, social injustice. When you look at statistics in the states that have recreationalized this, overall, with the exception of 2 categories, nobody's being arrested anymore, with the exception of minorities. In the states that have stringent marijuana laws, those arrests are actually down 16%. In the states that have these laws that allow recreational use, it's almost a 50% reduction in the number of arrests for individuals in possession, manufacturing, or trafficking this substance. So overall, we're seeing numbers of arrests going down, with the exception of 2 categories, and that's our minority populations. Our African Americans and Latinos are being arrested disproportionately in these states as opposed to whites.
In, say, Colorado or Oregon?
In, say, Colorado, Washington, and Oregon, we are in the, you want to know why? If you look at where these dispensaries are placed, they are not in your affluent communities. There is a disproportionate number of dispensaries in the communities of color and in communities of...
Why do you suppose that is? Why are they putting them there?
Well, basically, they're just following the alcohol and tobacco model. It's been very successful. If you look at alcohol and tobacco industry, and you look at the, and I go from my state, I can speak for my state. You know, we look at Kentucky as a poor state. Of the 50 poorest counties, we comprise 28% of the 50 poorest counties, 40% of the top 10 counties. And you go to these counties, and you'll see a disproportionate amount of tobacco and alcohol stores. So the model worked for that industry, and it is working for these communities. Don't have the political wherewithal to keep them out like the affluent communities.
I was just going to say, maybe if you've legalized recreational marijuana, and whenever you see the stories on TV, they go into the shop and it's kind of comical. The stories always have a pun in the headline. I was literally looking today and I thought, here in Illinois, they'll say it's high on the agenda of the, yes. You know, and there's this wink about it all. And to be honest with you, if I were you, I'd be a little offended by that, because I think it's not treating it seriously or neutrally when we write about it.
No, we're not.
When we talk about it. But my point is, though, that usually it's an interior story. We don't see where these stores are
set.
No,
you don't.
And you're telling me they're not in the nicer neighborhoods.
No, they're not. And you go to Denver, go to Portland, go to Boulder, go to Seattle, and look. And what we're seeing with looking at census data based on income thresholds, regardless of color, and comparing it to zip code data where these dispensaries are located, and there is a disproportionate number.
Okay,
located.
Hold on. Ed Chamelia is here. He is the coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative. Some healthcare and law enforcement professionals in DuPage County have brought him in to talk a little bit about the possibility of recreational marijuana in Illinois, as well as other addictive issues and the enforcement of them. Ed, just give me some advice that you have for Illinois. You're here as a courtesy to DuPage County talking about enforcement of these kinds of issues. Ed Chamelia is in our studio. He's the coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative. But we're going down the path of voting for legalizing marijuana in Cook County and or in the state of Illinois. What do you want to say to us about
well,
that?
Well, I think what you need to do is take a look at the issues that we are seeing in these other states that have already done this. And be cognizant of the fact that if you should do this, then you need to look at your youth usage rates in all three categories, 12 to 17, 18, 25, 26 and above. I can guarantee you they will go up. How do you deal with that to make sure that this group is not getting what they're not supposed to get, and that is marijuana? So you're going to see an increase in youth usage rates. Another thing you need to consider is driving under the influence of marijuana is going through the roof. 85% increase in the numbers of drivers tested positive in Colorado for driving under the influence of marijuana. We're seeing that in Washington and Oregon. The states that have done this, DUIDs, where marijuana is the principal drug, you're going to see that. How do you deal with that? Do your departments have enough drug recognition experts to deal with that? Because we don't have the science to detect cannabis impairment like we do alcohol impairment.
Is it possible that I would test positive for it but not be impaired?
Yes, because it depends on how you're tested, because everybody that ingests marijuana, one of the metabolites is carboxy THC, and it can remain in your system up to 30 days.
Right, so I might have THC in my system, test positive, and in fact, I might not be an impaired.
That's exactly right. The accurate indicator is Delta-9 THC, which you have to do from blood. That there's the big quandary right.
That's
there. The individual that would develop the device to help for roadside detection with cannabis will be a billionaire overnight. Some of the other things you need to look at is how's it going to impact your businesses? Because it is happening in these states. Look at treatment. Look at school performance issues and look at the impact in the school systems and look at mental health issues, because what we are seeing is issues around mental health. Those are just some of the things. Not to mention that you're going to make a lot of tax revenue from it, depending on how you decide to tax it. There are some upsides to this. It's a job creator, tax revenue generator. So there's some upsides to it. But counterbalance that with the fact that we really don't know what this drug is costing this country as a society, like we can articulate with alcohol and tobacco with a great deal of assurance. The data is just not there. And that's the dilemma right here, is we don't have the volume of research to make definitive causation analysis about this drug as we do with alcohol and tobacco. And we're probably going to be 5 to 10 years away from doing so.
Ed Chamelia is the coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative. DuPage County Health Department brought him into town. Next time you're in town, come into my studio again.
Thank you.